what do you think heaven will be like? The Pew Research in the US did a survey on what people thought the afterlife might be like. And they said things like that we would just be spirits floating around, listening to harp music like an eternal mindfulness retreat. Some said that we'd be united with loved ones that have passed from this world. Some thought that our spirit would ascend to a different plane of existence, an alternate dimension. Others that we'd have this world that was just kind of created for us to specifically meet our needs. You know, if you loved fishing, well, there'd just be perfect fishing all the time. Some thought that we'd be reincarnated or that we'd return to a source of energy, while others said that we'd be free from suffering. What do you think heaven will be like? And does what you think what heaven will be like match what God says heaven will be like? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. We're completing our series on transformation by focusing on what we will be when the transformation that God is undertaking in us is complete. So far in the series, we've seen what we are transformed from, the transformation that takes place when we first place our faith in Jesus. Last week, we looked at the ongoing transformation that God is working in us. And today, what will that look like when it is complete? What is the finished product going to look like? Beck, when she's preparing a craft for kids' church, she'll always make a model beforehand to show the kids what it will look like when it's completed. Today we're looking at the model of what we will look like when we are completed. Well, of what we can gather from God's word. There's still lots we don't know about this model. But what we do know is it involves lots of new things. There'll be a new body, a new location, and new roles. And so let's have a look at those. Let's start with a new body. On the day that Jesus returns, we will not just be a spirit just floating around or energy in another dimension. You know, in Jesus' time, as it is in our time, it's popular to think that the body is a limitation, something that is stopping us from being able to ascend to higher planes of being. But actually, when our transformation is complete, we will have bodies, better bodies. If you've got Bibles there, open them to 1 Corinthians 15. And in this chapter, Paul is showing the Corinthians how little sense Christianity makes if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. He says, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, those who hope in him are to be pitied among all people in verse 19. But Paul makes it very clear here that Jesus did in fact rise from the dead. Verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Christ has been raised. And as we read the Gospels, we see that he was raised with a body. It wasn't just a spirit that was raised. It wasn't just an energy force that was raised. It was Jesus was raised with his body. The tomb was empty. Jesus appeared to his disciples with a body. It was a transformed body. It was a body that could appear in locked rooms and then disappear just as easily, but it was a body. And it says in verse 20 that Jesus was the first fruits. The first fruits is the first. You know, at a potluck when dessert is announced, kids line up quickly to be the first. They want to get the first fruits of dessert. Well, Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. He was the first, but there is more to come. There's going to be more dead people coming to life, just like Jesus did. And we see that it is those who have faith in Christ. In verse 23, each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. And the question that the Corinthians have about this, which is what we read out, is in verse 35, how are the dead raised? With what type of body will they come? And Paul answers by saying that our body is so imperishable. We're decaying like milk left out in the sun. Our earthly bodies have a use-by date. And we know that, don't we? But like when a seed is planted, it becomes something very different to what that seed was. You plant a mustard seed, it becomes a mustard tree. Well, our perishable bodies will be transformed into imperishable bodies at the resurrection. Verse 42. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Transformation. There's going to be some continuity between our heavenly body and our earthly one. We'll be transformed, we'll be different, yes, but there will be something about our heavenly body that continues our earthly one. Just like there's something about a mustard tree that has something of the original mustard seed in it. Maybe we'll be recognizable by our visual features. Maybe we'll be recognizable by our character. Who knows? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But there will be some form of continuity. The disciples could tell that it was Jesus when he appeared to them. But there'll be discontinuity as well. We'll be imperishable. I love this description. This is verse 51. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Instant transformation. Instant new imperishable bodies, like milk that can be left out in the sun but never spoil. Now, there's lots of detail we don't know, like, is there a perfect age? Like, will everyone be 32? Or will we reflect the glory of the older saints? Will it be a mixture of both? Will we have the same skin color, eye color, hair color that we have now? Will we all have, you know, different characteristics? There's lots of questions that we have that we don't know the answer to. We're just not told. What we do know is that our new bodies, though, they're going to be glorious. Glorious heavenly bodies. And the key to getting this new body is trusting in Jesus. Jesus, the first fruit, who rose, defeating death, who now reigns with God. If we trust him, we will follow after him and we will have new transformed bodies. Now, this does raise a couple of questions for us. Well, what about cremation, where we burn the bodies of the deceased? Can those bodies be raised? And the answer is, well, yes, they can. Those who are cremated with their faith in Jesus Christ will be raised bodily. They will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, just like everyone else. There will be continuity and discontinuity with their earthly bodies. Now, because we're getting new bodies, does that mean it doesn't matter what we do with our bodies now? Well, yeah, it does matter what we do with our bodies now. Our bodies are not evil things to be discarded, but they're good gifts from God. They're part of who we are. They will be part of who we are for all eternity. And it's why our bodies are called a temple to the Lord. Now, this also comes with a note of grace, because where we have been unkind to our bodies, there will be redemption in heaven. They too will be transformed with the twinkling of an eye. It's going to be glorious. But it does matter what we do with our bodies now. So what will we be? Well, we will be people with new bodies, living forever, imperishable. But we're also going to be transformed into a new location. We're going to have these new bodies. Where are they going to be? In a new location. And we saw a picture of this new location in our Isaiah reading, where Isaiah effectively, he paints a beautiful picture for us of the new heavens and the new earth, where there is a new order, a perfect order, where the old imperfect order is not even remembered anymore. We read in Isaiah 65, verse 18, it's going to be a place of joy. In verse 19, it's going to be a place where God delights in his people, and the sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. And you have to love the imagery of verse 20. Never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. And it's a place of plenty in verses 21 and 22. And it's a place where there is no oppression, and there will be work, but it won't be vain work. It'll be the most fulfilling work you could ever imagine. And God will be there, blessing his people, answering his people even before they call out in verse 24. And probably the most memorable of the picture is in verse 25. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. It's a place of peace. Not violence, not war, but peace. There's not going to be bullying or domestic violence. There's not going to be one group setting themselves up against another, but peace. It's a hard picture to draw. It's often depicted with dainty pictures of lambs and lions together. This is one AI generated for me. I've got the lion and the lamb just hanging out there. But the reality is going to be so much better than that. It's going to be like nothing we can comprehend. It's a little like our new bodies. You know, we've got an idea, but we don't really kind of grasp all that it's going to be. It's like if someone was trying to describe to you a 3D movie. If you've never been to a 3D movie and someone's trying to describe to you what it's like to put on the cheap 3D glasses and have the image pop out at you, you can't really quite imagine it. But if you've gone and you've had that experience, you know what it's like. You know that it's a bit underwhelming and it's actually not that great. But heaven's not going to be underwhelming. This new location, this new heavens and this new earth is going to be the most fantastic thing that we could ever possibly imagine. It's going to be breathtaking. Gobstoppingly awesome. That is what the new heavens and the new earth is going to be. If you want to turn in your Bibles now to Revelations chapter 21 to 22, and it fills out a little bit more of the picture for us. And we see in verse 2, the new heavens and the new earth are described as a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. The picture is that our new dwelling, this new Jerusalem, is going to be on a transformed earth. And the focus here is not on where the new dwelling will be, but on who we will be with. Verse 3 reads, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" God is the one who is ensuring peace. God is the one who is wiping every tear from the eye. There's not going to be any more death or mourning or crying or pain because the old will have passed. God will be there ensuring that peace reigns for all eternity. If we were to read all of Revelation 21 and 22, we'd see that it talks about the new heavens and the new earth being like a new Garden of Eden, with the river of life easily accessible to all. Or a new city made with the most precious stones. And they're all images for God's people dwelling with God. It's going to be amazing. It's not going to be harps and clouds. But it's going to be a reality that we never tire of, that will never exhaust us, that will engage our hearts, our minds, and our passions and our desires for all eternity. And who's going to be in this new location? Well, it's not going to be everyone. We're told it's going to be those who thirst for it in Revelation 21, verse 6. "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." Imagine for a moment that I told you that you could have a trip to Disneyland for free. Transport will be free, accommodation and meals will be free, rides will be free. You will also get a VIP pass to meet the Disney stars, including the creator, Walt Disney himself. Let's pretend for a moment that he hasn't passed away, just for the sake of this illustration. Deal of a lifetime is not a deal that you would want to pass up. But God is telling us that access to the new awesome location, the new heavens and the new earth, a jillion times better than Disneyland, is free. Getting there is free. Accommodation is free. And you have a VIP access pass to spend time with the God of the universe for all of eternity. It's the deal of a lifetime. And if we're thirsty for this, all we need to do is come to Jesus, the living water, and he will give us this living water, this drink at no charge. And that means coming before him, humbling ourselves before him, acknowledging him to him that we have sin that needs forgiving, that only he can forgive. I went for a bike ride this week, and at the end of the bike ride, I was thirsty. I knew that I needed water or I was going to dehydrate, so I drank lots of water that day. Well, when we know our need before God, when we know that we need our sins forgiven, we will thirst for the water of life that Jesus can give, the drink that soothes our souls, refreshes us by forgiving our sin and brings us into relationship with God. And if we drink that water in verse 7, it says we will be victorious. We will be called children of God. But also in this picture of the new heavens and the new earth is a sobering reality, spelt out for us in verse 8. As amazing as it will be, not everyone is going to want it. Not everyone is going to thirst for it. Not everyone will place their trust in Jesus. And it says in verse 8, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now that's what we all deserve, a second death. That God, by his grace, through his son Jesus, gives us the water of life, free of cost, access to the new heavens and the new earth. So I encourage you, if you haven't already, come to Jesus and drink from the water that he gives. So what will we be? Well, we will have new bodies. We will be in a new location. But what will we do there? What roles will we have? Well, we will have new roles. Now, there are probably thousands of things that we will do for all eternity in heaven. But here are at least four that God tells us in the Bible. The first, you might have guessed, is that we will worship Jesus. God on the throne. The picture we have in Revelation chapter 7 gives us this great picture of thousands upon thousands of the Lord's people exalting Jesus. It reads, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. We will worship God. We will honor Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, as King. And that's what the palm branches represent in Revelation 7. It's saying that Jesus is the King. And we, with all our brothers and sisters, for all eternity, will worship him. We will sing the new song of salvation. It'll be like church, like you have never experienced before. And Jesus will be the minister. And we will see him face to face. And we will rejoice that he is our Savior. I came across a quote this week, and I put it in the E-News, so some of you might have seen it before. And it reads, there is one song that you will sing every hour your first 10 years in heaven. And the refrain of that song will be, I'm so glad God did not let me have it my own way. It's obviously the play on words there with the song, I Did It My Way. in the new heavens and the new earth, we're going to worship Jesus. We're going to rejoice in what God has done for us. We will worship with the Lamb, our Savior, on his throne. But that's not all we're going to do. There's more. We're going to celebrate with feasts. Who likes food? I love food. I love feasts. I love a good selection of lamb and roast potatoes followed by a hearty pavlova or trifle. And maybe you do too. Heaven is going to be a banquet, a feast. Isaiah 25, verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. Sounds good. Or Revelation 19. The angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Heaven is described as a feast, a party, a celebration. What will we be celebrating? The great works of God. The coming of Jesus. His reign, his rule, his authority. Our salvation. So we're going to worship. And we're going to celebrate in the new heavens and the new earth. But we're also going to serve. And just like in the church now, we get to serve Jesus. In the new heavens and the new earth, we will serve Jesus. And we see this in Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 to 5, where it says, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Now, what is serving Jesus going to look like for us in heaven? Hard to know. Today, we serve him by seeking to love God and love our neighbor, and I assume that we will still do that in heaven, and we will do it perfectly, and it'll be fantastic. But there's a whole bunch of service that we're not going to need to do in heaven. We're not going to need to do evangelism anymore. We're not going to need to help the poor anymore. But whatever that service is going to be in heaven, we're going to be able to do it with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, without sin, without selfishness, without laziness or excuses. But it's also worth highlighting here that not only will we serve Jesus, but Jesus will serve us. He will continue to serve us, just like he has already done by dying on the cross. In one of the parables Jesus teaches, the master's servants are waiting for the master to return. And when the master returns, he does the unthinkable. He starts serving them. And Jesus uses it to say that he will serve us. We're waiting for our master at this great banquet, this great feast, to come and serve us, to be served by Jesus for all eternity. If you're looking for that parable, it's found in Luke chapter 12. Now, the last thing I want to draw to your attention about what we will do with our new role is reign with Jesus. And we saw that in Revelation 22, verse 5, which we just read. We will reign forever and ever. And I take it this is like a little bit like a teaser trailer. You know how movies often have that 1 minute snippet that you watched, and after watching it, you meant to go, oh, I really want to see that movie. Well, I think that the being told that we will reign with Jesus is a little bit like a teaser trailer, because we're not really told what that's going to look like. We just don't know. Paul talks about us judging angels in 1 Corinthians 6. What does that look like? I don't know. One of the things that I think it might include is, you know, in the Garden of Eden, we were designed to rule over the world under God. And so maybe in the new heavens and the new earth, we will rule under the new heavens and the new earth under God, and we will reign over it. But it's just a teaser, because we can't really fill it out. God hasn't given us enough information to be able to do that. But it is something that we will be doing in the new heavens and the new earth with Jesus. So far we've explored the new body. We're going to have an imperishable heavenly body in a new location, in the new heavens and the new earth. And we will have new roles where we will worship and celebrate and serve and be served, and we will reign with Jesus. So what are we to do with all this information? Well, I think we can start by just letting it sink in. Our future is planned. Our eternal future is going to be so much better than we can conceive or imagine. What we will become and where we will be is going to cause us to marvel and be amazed. It's going to be better than we could ever possibly comprehend or imagine. We just get a small glimpse of how glorious it's going to be. It's not just some harp in the sky or transfer of energy. In Christ, you will be transformed. You will be new. You will have a body that lives for eternity. We're not going to be wandering around aimlessly either in heaven, just going, oh, what am I going to do today? No, God has given us purpose. He's told us that we will reign with him, that we will serve him, that we will worship him, that we will celebrate with him. Let it sink in. And the second thing we can do with this information is just let it motivate you now to live your life for Jesus. If you read 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul is talking about the new resurrection body, right to the end of the chapter, you read this. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Because Jesus is risen from the dead, because we will follow him in being raised from the dead. Paul's conclusion, let nothing move you. Stand firm. Give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. That's what we are to do. As we fix our eyes on the prize of heaven and the goal of the transformation that God is working in us, let us be people who seek to work, stand firm, working fully for the Lord in everything that we do, knowing that we have a glorious future awaiting us. So let it sink in and let it motivate you to keep serving the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a good and glorious God. We praise you that you have given us this promise of what we will be when the work that you have done in us is complete, that we will have new bodies, that we will be in the new heavens and the new earth, that we will have things to do while we are there. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to think about that when we think about heaven. But also, Lord, that you would, as we think about what we will be, that would help us to live for you now, to stand firm, doing your work, knowing it is not in vain. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.